From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson, and this is a special pledge drive edition. One issue we've been covering a lot for the past year has to do with gun rights. At the end of February, President Trump quietly signed a new law that rolls back regulations passed during the Obama administration, regulations that had made it harder for people with mental illness to buy guns. It's a sign that the debate over guns in America is as unsettled as ever. Every mass shooting prompts new calls to limit access to firearms. Yet more people than ever are buying and carrying weapons for protection. We're all familiar with the battle lines. Guns rights groups, namely the National Rifle Association, make their case all the time in speeches and videos.
The Second Amendment is the most vital amendment because without it, there is no First Amendment. Because if you say that you have the right to free speech and freedom of religious expression and everything else, but you have no way to defend that right, then it's meaningless.
The NRA's argument isn't just that owning guns is a constitutional right. They say guns make all of us a lot safer. The group claims it has the research and the data to back this up. Information it's used to help pass laws making it easier to carry a gun. Now, advocates on the other side of the debate have their own research to support a different agenda. More background checks and tighter restrictions on access to guns. Now, you'd think in a country with so many guns and so much gun violence, the federal government would try to keep comprehensive data on things like how many people own guns, how many are killed or injured each day with firearms. But it doesn't. And that gets to our next story. It's about a man with his feet in both sides of the debate. He's devoting his life to documenting every incident of gun violence in America. Reveal's Michael Montgomery picks up our story in Lexington, Kentucky.
Bud's Gun Shop and Range is a long, one-story building tucked behind a shopping center just off Highway 60. It's late Wednesday morning when we catch up with Mark Bryan. He's just come from his home office where he's been gathering the latest reports on shootings from around the country. Mark walks into Bud's and flashes a silver membership card. Then he heads to a firing lane and opens a black duffel bag full of handguns.
A modern Smith & Wesson 45, a 1911 45, a Beretta 9mm like the military uses, a small 38, and we brought a large 44.
It's the heavy-duty revolver Dirty Harry made famous. Mark adjusts his feet slightly.
It's getting ready to make noise.
Okay.
And fires. His shots hit the center of the target. A paper silhouette of a person.
Interestingly, I go, when I'm frustrated with the gun violence work, I go shoot holes in paper. It gives you a focus point 25 yards away, a size of a quarter or half dollar, and everything else is in the peripheral.
Mark is a burly guy with silver hair he used to wear in a ponytail and a big, bushy beard. For years, he worked as a systems analyst for big companies like IBM. Looking at him, you can't quite tell if he's an aging hippie or a good old boy riding into the sunset.
There's probably some good old boy left in me. I've lived in New York and California and different places, so some of that is gone. But I'm from Harlan, so there's a certain level of me that's not going to change.
He's talking about Harlan County, Kentucky, where he grew up.
A lot of the fathers, after church, after lunch, would take the kids up to the garbage dump, and we would shoot rats. So I learned to shoot at about 5 years old with a .22 rifle that my father had bought back in 1937 for, I think, $13.
Mark still enjoys shooting at the range, but as he grew older, his views on guns started to change. He was hearing more stories about friends and friends of friends who were shot. Some were victims of crimes, some were accidental, others were suicides. The systems guy and Mark wanted more information. He wanted to know how many Americans were touched by gun violence. Media coverage was misleading. News crews closely followed mass shootings, but overall, far more people were killed and injured in smaller scale incidents that often got little or no attention. Mark found the way government tracks gun violence was also spotty.
I sometimes think some states' crime reports are run through the Tourism Bureau before they make it out to the public. If something happens in one town 25 miles away, nobody will know about it.
So a few years ago, he launched the Gun Violence Archive with funding from a Washington philanthropist named Mike Klein. It's an online database that tracks gun incidents from across the country and makes that information quickly available to the public. Each day, Mark's researchers comb thousands of websites, news outlets, reports from police and coroner's offices. The archive tracks all sorts of incidents, like crimes involving stolen weapons.
People don't realize that there are 250,000 guns stolen every year. That's 250,000 guns that ends up on the street.
Mark also tallies accidental shootings, child gunshot victims, and times when guns are used to intimidate but aren't actually fired. His archive is closely followed by the media, academic researchers, and some law enforcement agencies. In 2015, it recorded some 53,000 incidents that resulted in more than 13,000 deaths. Mark says the costs go far beyond human lives.
Gun violence costs billions of tax dollars in added police, in emergency rooms, in all in loss of wages, loss of taxes with wages. The cost is just mind-numbing.
Mark hoped his database would help policymakers craft gun laws that could save lives. But in America, you can't wade into the numbers without also wading into the intense politics of guns. We got a taste of that last year at a fancy ballroom in Nashville, Tennessee, on the eve of the National Rifle Association's annual meeting. It was a fundraiser for the Crime Prevention Research Center, a group whose work supports some of the NRA's most popular slogans.
More guns equals less crime. Fewer guns is a murderer's dream.
That's Ted Nugent, the rocker and longtime NRA board member. He's a big star on the gun circuit, outspoken, sometimes outrageous. Ted's wearing a camouflage jacket and cap, and he's speaking to about 100 people. They're dressed in everything from suits and fancy dresses to jeans and cowboy boots.
I know some of you have family members that are anti-gun. Fix them. I know you have coworkers that don't like guns and don't like the NRA. Fix them. Hammer the living out of them every day with statistics. John's got the statistics.
Ted's talking about John Lott. He's a controversial economist who founded the research center a few years ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Lott.
This is his event.
What I say, after you listen to Ted, it's kind of like anything is anticlimactic.
John's best-known book, More Guns, Less Crime, has been widely challenged by some academic researchers, but it's a Bible for the gun rights movement.
We had a survey that came out showing that the vast majority of economists think that having guns make people safer.
John Lott couldn't be more different from Mark Bryant. John is skinny and bookish. He's ambivalent about owning guns himself, but is a big ally of the NRA. And he's dismissive of Mark's gun violence archive.
I don't think he's doing a very good job.
He says even the very phrase, gun violence, ignores the benefits of guns.
Guns make it easier for bad things to happen, there's no doubt about that. But they also make it easier for people to protect themselves and prevent bad things from happening.
According to John Lott, people use guns to stop crimes all the time. It's just that it doesn't show up in databases or in media and police reports. But he says that if you look at surveys of crime victims,
you're going to get like five times or so the rate that people use guns defensively as compared to using guns in the commission of crimes.
This is known as defensive use, and it's a big deal in the gun rights movement. If you do the math, what John is saying is that guns are used in self-defense more than a million times each year. Mark Bryant says that if that were the case, his researchers would know about it.
The logic that they use that says, well, most of them just aren't reported. We just walk away happy that we kicked ass. That's baloney. That says that we took the law in our own hands and did not think there was a need to inform of a crime that occurred that escalated to the point that we needed a gun.
Mark's Gun Violence Archive documented just 1,300 cases of people using guns defensively in 2015. And while Mark says the actual number is probably a little higher, it's still a tiny fraction of the figures claimed by John Lott. And this isn't just an abstract debate about statistics. John Lott's research is used to back laws making it easier to carry concealed weapons.
When you pass right to carry laws, as the percentage of the population with permits increases, you see drops in violent crimes. Some criminals stop committing crimes. Some criminals switch into other types of crimes. And some criminals move to other areas.
He wants us to believe that there is a direct cause and effect.
Mark Bryant says data on gun violence doesn't support John's claims about the benefits of concealed carry laws.
At one point, he was clamoring that Chicago's gun deaths were down because of the new concealed carry law in Illinois. Well, the law had been in existence for about 30 days. Too many times, folks will tailor the data to suit their message that they already have.
Even though Mark says the gun lobby is wrong about the number of crimes stopped by firearms, it doesn't seem to matter. John's side is winning. All you have to do is look at the number of laws that allow more people to carry guns. More than 36 states have now passed concealed carry legislation or loosened existing laws, according to advocates on both sides of the debate. And just in the past decade, the number of permits has nearly tripled to more than 13 million. When it comes to tailoring gun data, Mark says the NRA and its allies are the biggest offenders. But he says liberal groups sometimes do it too. One example, Every Town for Gun Safety. That's the group funded by former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Mark says Every Town has inflated the number of school shootings by including incidents that don't involve students or staff.
Two guys meet at the parking lot that happens to belong to a school at 3 in the morning to exchange drugs or guns or girls or whatever, and gunfire comes into play. That's not really a school shooting. I think the idea is that if 12 is bad, then 23 is a lot worse.
We contacted Every Town, and a representative told us they stand by their numbers. Mark Bryant says his archive is nonpartisan, but his private views lean toward gun violence prevention groups. He believes in tighter background checks and better ways to store guns safely. Still, some people on the liberal side of the fence don't know what to make of Mark.
I think that there are times when a minority of people in the push for gun reform will wonder what he's all about. You know, who is this Mark Bryant from Kentucky who owns a lot of guns and sticks up for gun people? He's not our kind.
Amanda Gailey is a member of Nebraskans Against Gun Violence. She's friendly with Mark and relies on his database to track local gun violence.
You know, it takes a while to realize that he's exactly the kind of person we need in the gun reform push. He's fact-based, fact-driven.
And the facts assembled in the gun violence archive underscore the urgency of the issue. Last year alone, more than 3,300 children in America were killed or wounded by guns.
You're just seeing a constant grind of pain.
Pain that sometimes hits home. Mark had to hire a trauma counselor to work with his staff. Recently, one researcher quit her job. It was all just too much.
I believe it was an infant that was shot and killed, and that took her over the edge. When I was starting this in 13, I could remember the name of every victim. I knew how old they were. I could remember their photographs that were in the newspapers. And now I cannot do that. And that's a good thing. I've detached from that. It's bad that there has been so many of them that have just calloused me, but that's where it is.
Our story was produced by Reveal's Michael Montgomery and co-reported by Matt Drange. In the interest of full disclosure, we should mention that the brother of one of our producers is a staffer at Every Town for Gun Safety. That's the gun control group funded by Michael Bloomberg. Getting the data, turning up the facts, and investigating what's going on behind the spin is what you can expect from public radio. But this type of in-depth reporting takes time, and as you know, time is money. So that's where we count on you, to give us the time to really get at the root of the issues that we all have to grapple with. If you want to hear more of this type of reporting on your local public radio station, then please support it during the pledge drive. Here's how you can help.